meeting. I hope everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should please ensure that their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for the discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the meeting today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via the instant messaging feature so that we are aware that this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Folks, before we move on to the agenda, I would like to, on behalf of the Chamber, send our deepest condolences and sympathies to Councillor Willie Clark on the death of his dear mother, Margaret. Margaret was a lifelong resident of Widows Row at the Harbour in Newcastle, and I know she will be sorely missed by the entire community there. Willie, our deepest sympathies are with yourself and your entire family circle.
Thank you.
I'd also like to just take a quick moment to send, a congratulations to all of those who were involved in the two fantastic St Patrick's Day events that took place yesterday across the district in both Downpatrick and Newry. And I know that any councillors who were in attendance will agree that there was huge crowds and a fantastic atmosphere and a lot of hard work done. I'd like to specifically mention Conor Mallon and Owen McCartan and Andy Patterson, just on the hard work and dedication that they had in pulling that all together. It was a credit to them. And no doubt things will be even bigger and better next year. I'm going to move on to the agenda. Declan, you're looking in there?
Yeah, Cathy, yeah, it's just to give our pass on our sympathies, probably as DAP group, and to Willie and the death of his mother. I didn't know anything about that. So just want to be associated with your remarks as well.
Okay, thanks. Thank you, Declan. Okay, so we're going to move on to item number one. Is there any apologies?
Yeah, there's Michael Savage, Cathy.
Okay, thank you, Declan.
Councillor Clark, Councillor Andrews and Councillor Owen.
Yeah. Sorry, okay. Chair. Councillor Brown, just in case you didn't pick it up in the message. Thank you, Chair. Councillor Brown.
Thank you, Andrew. Okay, item number two, any declarations of interest? No. Okay. Well, then we'll move on to item number three, which is the notice of motion and the reason for this special council meeting. It's a notice of motion from Councillor O'Murray and seconded by Councillor Hanlon. So, Councillor O'Murray, I'm going to hand over to yourself to read the motion, and then it can be discussed afterwards.
All right. Go on, Margaret Carly. So the notice of motion reads, this council recognises with deep concern the cost of living crisis that is impacting hundreds of thousands of families from across our society, and the rise in home energy and electricity costs, which has placed a severe burden on already struggling households and businesses across our council area. The collapse of the executive, caused by the resignation of DUP First Minister Paul Given, is preventing a budget or the allocation of $300 million available from Treasury from being agreed, and is hampering ministers from using their full spending power to give people relief who rely and depend upon it. This council calls for the immediate restoration of the executive in order to allocate and agree spending to support workers and families. Furthermore, this council calls upon the Westminster government to take action where local ministers cannot, by scrapping VAT on domestic energy bills and cutting duty on home heating oil, petrol and diesel for the duration of the energy crisis. introducing a windfall tax on energy generators and redirecting money towards supporting families, reverse the planned increase in national insurance contributions, and halt the planned change in red diesel entitlement. There's quite a bit in there, Chairperson, and it sort of indicates the problems and the difficulties that every household is going through at the minute, that it's just one thing on top of another, on top of another. You know, when Geoffrey Donaldson decided to withdraw Paul Given as the First Minister and to collapse the executive, it probably seemed like a really good idea at the time. I'm sure there was many a meeting about it within the DUP, and they were probably under a lot of pressure with the protocol issue from some of their supporters. And they probably, you know, got to the point where they said, look, at we just collapse it and see what happens. But surely to God, as the days and weeks have rolled on and the war on the Ukraine has escalated, oil prices soaring, grain prices, commodities that we all take for granted, skyrocketing. Did he not think cost of living crisis affects every single household in the six counties, every single person? Maybe it would be good to restore Paul Given. Did he not think that? And deal with the crises, all of them, that have emerged and continue to emerge. That the protocol question is important, critically important to unionism. I can accept that, and our party can see that. That's without a doubt. But that the cost of living crisis is crippling everybody, unionist communities too. And surely somewhere, surely Geoffrey has to sit down and take a look and say, which is more important? Which is the preeminent issue at the minute? Is it the cost of living crisis that's affecting everybody? Or is it the protocol issue that, yes, is affecting an awful lot of people, but which do I need to take action on? The rise in diesel costs felt by everybody when they go to fill their vehicle, farmers, builders, everyone. Petrol costs, heating oil, soaring energy bills, a planned increase in national insurance contributions, and the red diesel issue. All of this is smothering the people right before an election. And it's, as far as I can see, it's just not fair. It's an unfair situation for our people to be just stepped on. And the people within our district, every councillor on this will have been in contact and been contacted by people who need support, who need help, who are reaching out to their local MLA, to their local councillors, looking for help and support. And the notice of motion, this was an emergency. This couldn't wait till the April meeting. This had to be heard within 5 working days. We had to give 5 working days, otherwise we would have took it last Friday at the drop of a hat. But that we call on all councillors from other parties to stand with us and to send a strong message from Newry Morningdown District Council that we want the executive restored, that we want the quickest way. We know there's other parties are looking at different ways that you can maybe get the money spent out there, but the quickest, cleanest way to get this, to tackle the cost of living crisis, is to restore the executive, for the DUP to put Paul Given back in, or whoever back in, as the First Minister, and let's get back to business. And that's the message that we want to come out from Newry Morningdown District Council. That's me, Chair Gar Margaret. I think Una Hanlon will be seconding the motion.
Thanks, Farah. Una, do you want to come in there?
Yeah, thanks, Cathy. Happy to second the motion, and it's just incredulous that we even have to bring a motion like this to council. But it's so important that our council and every party stands together on this, because it is hitting workers and families. It's you know, there's nobody that isn't going to get away from the effects that this is having. You know, in my lifetime, I've experienced 2 recessions. I actually worked in finance whenever they were happening, and I've seen firsthand the impact that it has on people. But I've never seen it like this. I've never experienced it hitting so hard so quickly. We're coming out of a pandemic. Nobody needs any reminders of that. And like, if you think about businesses and the COVID recovery that we've all talked about, it's nearly been knocked on its head now, because any good work we have done has been completely upended by this. You know, we hear of people choosing to heat or eat. I'm just back from doing my groceries, and it's going to be very soon people are choosing not only to heat or eat, but actually are they going to be able to eat at all, because the prices are soaring through the roof. And it's impacting on everything, as Barra has said. You know, doing a bit of research there before we come on, you know, Jeffrey Donaldson has made random suggestions about cutting household rates. You know, we as a council know, and as councillors understand, the lengthy process we go through to set rates and why we do it. We do it so that we can have delivery within our district for the families that reside and the residents that live here. And, you know, to make outlandish kind of proposals like that, you know, it sort of shows you where he is. He's completely backed himself into a corner, and he's left himself making random suggestions, because rather than just nipping it in the bud, and as Barr said, put the First Minister back in. The public need a First Minister to get this budget passed. £300 million sitting, it's just scandalous. There's no other way to describe it. And I do recognise that the SLP have put in calls and motions for emergency legislation, and that is to be welcomed, because they're trying to, you know, make roads to sort it out. But we shouldn't have to even do it. We shouldn't even have to be debating that. It's a simple thing. Just put the First Minister back in and get the job done and get the budget delivered. The public need restoration of the executive with its full spending and decision powers. And that's it, Sinead. Thank you.
Thank you, Una. Councillor McGeer, Eva Payne, do you want to come in and make a comment?
Yes, well, it is, yes. I didn't want to put everything in. Yes, and certainly, and thank you very much, Barra, again, and Councillor Hanlon, for taking this motion forward. And like ourselves, we also agreed and recognised that the urgency in this that Barra spoke about when we tabled last week's emergency motion as well, in the same vein, calling on the Chancellor of the Exchequer to release funding to support households, you know, on energy bills. So we're all singing up the same hymn sheet. But I'm just going to a couple of wee things. Just, well, the first thing is, if you would maybe consider an amendment to it, and the amendment I'll read as follows. At the very last paragraph, after the last paragraph, and calls on the Department of Communities to make an immediate payment of £200 energy support payment to all households who have not yet received support, and furthermore calls on all parties to support Mark H. Durgan's private members bill, which, in the absence of a restored executive, will allow the underspend of £300 million to be dispersed immediately to those in further need of direct financial support. So that's the wording of those amendments. So hopefully you don't have any problem with that. Just some of the detail in round when you read your motion. The talk there about it doesn't actually include gas. And the remark was made by someone to me that, you know, while oil barrel prices have fluctuated, you know, up and down inside the last week, gas has stayed the same. So I think if maybe, you know, just spell out the fact that we're talking here about gas as well. And then just on the actual the percentage suggested in the cut of duty, what would actually that be? Because my feeling on a lot of this is that the duty is static. But the percentage of VAT actually has benefited and give the Chancellor's checkers a windfall. So there's a lot of work needs done in around that one, you know. So I just wanted, you talked about the percentage. What percentage had you in mind, really, in the cut of the duty, which is the normal, you know, it still stays the same just per litre or per therm in terms of gas, you know. So. Sure, thank you for that. But in the main substance of it, you know, people are crying out, really. And it's a long and many a year since we've really been in such a situation, I guess, on households. You know, people are very, very, very worried about where the next fill of diesel is coming for our kerosene or even the car. You can actually, I thought even there were less cars on the road, even north and south over the past weekend as well. So I do think it's having an effect on it, potentially have an effect on the whole industrial economy as well. So we are in serious situation, and hope and pray that something will happen positively in terms of Ukraine that will bring this to an end, because this just cannot continue, you know. So thanks again, Chair, and if you got that, if someone managed to get that, the wording and considered, but I'll answer any questions you have on that as well. So thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Councillor McAteer. Councillor Murray, Councillor McAteer has made a proposed amendment to it. Are you content with those amendments, or do you want to come in on those?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be 100%. I don't mind the piece about Mark Durkin. It's not Deirdre Hargey's gift to give a £200 energy boost to people in need. That's certainly, as far as we see it, the gift of the Exchequer. Also, it's not up to Sinn Féin councillors on Newry Morton Down District Council to decide what rate the cuts need to happen to our electricity or anything else. That we don't see that as there, so we don't think that needs to go in. Possibly, we don't mind putting in the bit about Mark Durkin, if you want to repeat it.
Okay, and just mention maybe the gas as well, if you want to put that in, because it's just the wording of it. Somebody says you never mention gas. You know, it could be, as a council, we all want to support, they could be exposed a wee bit on that one. Yeah, I'll read that back out to you again, Barra. Yeah, furthermore called on all parties to support Mark H. Durkin's private members' bill, which in the absence of a restored executive will allow the underspend of £300 million to be dispersed immediately to those in further need of direct financial support.
Yeah, I don't mind that. We don't mind that. We're happy enough with that. And if you want to put the word gas in after electricity, that doesn't change the importance of the motion.
Exactly. That's fine.
Okay.
But it's... I'd have been even more happy if you had accepted the £200 energy support, which we feel is possible and is needed, you know, with the right amount of manoeuvring, you know.
Councillor McAteer, you're happy with the motion with the inclusion that Barra has accepted there, yeah?
We would have liked to seen that. So
yeah, no, I understand you would have liked to have seen that in it, but as far as not accepting it, are you happy with the motion?
But prefer the full wording, Chair.
So will you be looking for a vote on that amendment?
Yeah.
Okay. Councillor Taylor, you're looking in there.
Chair, yeah, and apologies, I have to go fairly shortly here, but another engagement that I just have to be at. Chair, listen, I think, you know, it's very clear that there are genuine concerns regarding the protocol, and unionists, obviously, you know, of various shades have outlined their concerns and the need for action to be taken with regards to the protocol. I'm as concerned as anybody regarding it. I didn't think that leaving the executive was the best option, I have to say, and we're dealing with, you know, obviously is the fact that there isn't an executive at present. That leaves us in a situation where we're not maybe able to deal with the issues as well as we could do if we had our own ministers, particularly the First and Deputy First Minister in power, because the executive can't meet at the moment. Really, ministers are sort of acting as almost caretakers of their you know, ministerial departments at the minute, rather than acting as full executive ministers. So that places obviously difficulties for us. But certainly the issue itself, in terms of the cost of living crisis, it's very clear that it's impacting on everybody at the moment, and particularly those families that are on low incomes. You know, I genuinely worry about the physical and mental health of people with regards to this this issue. You know, I just before I come on here, actually my wife showed me our electricity bill, and just over the last number of months, for instance, we have a top up system that was in our house before we, you know, moved in, and we kept that going. We had put one top up in over November and December time, but we were required to put three in over the period of late January, February. So that in itself shows the impact that this cost of living crisis is having. When you see a situation where I'm having almost put three times as much energy provision into my house than it would be in normal circumstances. So what impact is that having on other people, particularly those that are of, you know, limited income disposal? You know, I genuinely worry about, you know, where they will be in a matter of weeks, because they are going to have to make very, very difficult decisions regarding whether to eat or keep their home. That's how critical this is. And, you know, I think it's clear there are obviously, you know, health outcomes as a result of the cost of living crisis as well. And it does necessitate both Westminster and Stormont, you know, to act to mitigate the worst effects of this living crisis. You know, I think that this week it was actually Robin Swan highlighted, you know, the links between deprivation and poor health outcomes. And again, as I've said, the impact that that has both on the physical and mental health of people. And the recent fuel increases, you know, have seriously affected the cost of living. And the result, you know, there's many more people are fighting that difficult choice between eating and eating. And it's clear that poverty, unemployment, even poor housing and associated stress can all make people ill. So, you know, the fact that we have money sitting in, you know, with the Stormont departments at the minute that can't be spent, you know, that money would be, you know, best served to try and alleviate the potential poverty crisis that we're gonna have if we continue to go in the vein that we are regarding increased energy costs. And I don't see this, you know, changing anytime soon, particularly as a result of the conflict that we have, the war that Russia has, you know, placed upon Ukraine. That's going to have an impact, and already is having an impact across Europe and indeed the world. So the people of Northern Ireland obviously do need a fully functioning executive. And I don't want to get into, you know, particular criticism of one party or other, because I say there are firmly held views in regards to the protocol. But it's certainly in my opinion that we would be best placed to deal with this issue if an executive was in place as an executive. So we're limited at the moment because of that. So in my opinion, the executive would be the best place for this to be dealt with. And we need a fully functioning executive to make the difficult decisions that are required to try and alleviate the crisis that's in front of us at this present time.
Thank you, David. Councillor McMurray.
Yeah, Chair, thank you. I suppose really on the line about the immediate restoration of the executive, 100%. This place only really functions properly and to the benefit of everybody when it does function. So wholeheartedly agree with that. Regarding the cost of living, certainly Alliance is increasing concern about the cost of living crisis within Northern Ireland, with so many households already struggling to make ends meet due to the pandemic. We're now facing the biggest fall in living standards since comparable records began, as inflation continues to reduce the value of wages and benefits. Not only is the cost of living likely to worsen poverty levels and inequality, but also presents a real threat to our wider economic recovery. The squeeze in disposable incomes is a likely result. Reduce consumer spending in the wake of already difficult period for businesses, and if this destabilises economic recovery, could cost jobs and further reduce living standards. Again, I've touched on it, and we don't dwell too much on it, but certainly Putin, I think we need to be careful distinguishing Putin and Russia as such, but certainly Putin's military aggression against Ukraine and the resulting crisis will exacerbate the cost of energy and foodstuffs. And so, we support urgent action, both from the UK government and the Northern Ireland Assembly, to protect the most vulnerable people in our community and prevent lasting social and economic damage. And also, as that, you know, this energy crisis can't be seen without, you know, disentangling it from our climate crisis. Chair, with the indulgence of Councillor O'Murray and Councillor Hanlon, I say I would have two additions. I'm not sure there's necessarily amendments, but certainly additions. You know, we would just ask perhaps to call, ask the Assembly to roll out a child payment scheme. You know, Chair, the efforts to sustain the availability of free school meals during COVID-19 was really set a precedent, and the fear to protect children from existing and forthcoming difficulties will be unforgivable. It also will lead to further socio-economic trauma that some will struggle to escape from. So certainly as of yet, the unallocated $300 million should be set aside for this purpose, and I think I appreciate if that addition can be made. As well as that, Chair, I think we need to seriously consider levying a windfall tax on some of the energy firms that have made super super profits during the period associated with the recent COVID-19, post-19 recovery. Anyone needs a detailed analysis, you know, they should turn their eye over to Private Eye and some of the continued detailed investigation on this subject. You know, we need to get real regarding the negative impact upon our environment. Some of these energy firms have, you know, there really must be something structurally wrong within our system in which resources are extracted to make a minority rich beyond comprehension, while at the same time many people require food banks by way of sustenance simply. So again, I'm not terribly precious, Councillor Omar and Councillor Hanlon, as to what they are, but essentially it would be calling on a windfall tax on energy firms that have made super profits, and the assembly rollout of a child payment scheme. So if those could be considered, I'd be most grateful, Chair. Thank you.
Barra, do you want to come back in on those two points on Councillor McMurray?
I don't really have a problem with the child poverty part of it. I think it's a no-brainer that we could make the call for some of that £300 million to be shown the way of children who need school meals and all of that sort of thing. I do have a line in the motion about a windfall tax for energy companies, Andy, already. If I don't see the need to add another bit in, I totally take on board what you're saying, and I can perhaps tweak the how I describe the energy firms. We can say energy firms who turn huge profit in the last year or something. So the motion that I read reads about introducing a windfall tax for energy firms, so profitable energy firms or something like that, Andy.
Thank you. I'm not trying to be precious, okay. Barra, because I say it's a good motion. Again, perhaps I just misread it, but I think you know the fact that you know we need to sort of redistribute some of the wealth that some of these firms have made. I think it goes without saying. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm going to bring Councillor Hanlon in.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment, you know, in and around, you know, we're calling on the department, or one of the amendments was we are calling on the Department of Communities to bring forward the £200 payment. But my understanding of that is we can't do that without an executive. So it's kind of counteracting the actual motion that we're taking, because we're calling for something that can't actually happen. And it's, you know what I mean? It's against the spirit of the motion, I think. You know, of course, we would want to see a £200 energy scheme rolled out, and absolutely to those who need it the most. And that could be determined by children, to old people, to the working poor, and anybody else in between. So it's how do you quantify that as well? So, you know, I'm just really conscious that we'd be going to vote on something just for the sake of it, because we can't actually do it anyway. So I just wanted to make that point.
Okay, thanks, Inna. Councillor Murphy?
Thanks, Chair. No, it was just Declan, if you can hear me, Dec. It was only just to get a wee bit of clarification just on the amendment with regards to the proposal you're making for Deirdre Hargey. But obviously, the reason why we're here is because the executive can't, you know, make new decisions, you know, because there is no executive. So you can't put new schemes in place without, you know, the blessing or the consent of the executive. However, there is a possibility of emergency legislation. Is that what you're talking about? And are you talking about an extension of the existing home energy scheme? It's just not very clear.
Thanks, Declan. I'm going to bring Councillor Malone in first, because I know you're looking in there, Gavin. And then Declan, I'll bring yourself back in, Declan McAteer, to clarify that. So, Councillor Malone, do you want to come back in? Or come in? You're possibly on mute, Gavin.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Chair. Yes, Chair, well done, Barra, and Una, for taking it forward. I agree with Councillor Murphy with regards to we can't start talking about £200 if we don't have an executive club running. So we need clarification on that from Councillor McAdair. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Malone. Councillor McAdair, do you want to come back in just to clarify the question that both Una and Declan were asking there, just around your amendment?
Yes, but it's actually in round the moving of cash inside the executive, which I understand can be done. That's my information. So without any more detail on that, apologies, Declan. Yeah, that's the information I got. It can actually be done, you know.
Okay, well, Councillor McAdair, can you just confirm the wording of your amendment?
I think Sarah's going to put that up.
Okay, and have you got somebody to second your proposal?
Yep. Mr. Byrne?
Councillor Byrne, you're happy to second?
Happy to second, Chair, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay, before we go on, and are you looking back in there?
Yeah, I'm just going to make the point. I'm not telling the SLP how to suck eggs, but this is what went through Belfast, okay? That funding would be considered, that this would include, allocating the funding would include considering an extension of the £200 home energy scheme to those most in need, and that also without an executive, the potential of emergency legislation could be looked at to allocate the funding. So we would be content with that wording.
Yeah, happy enough content.
Because, you know, you literally just said moving around of cash, as if we were taking it from one envelope to the other.
It is in another way. It's operating the Assembly and for the betterment of those in need at this present time, whoever needs to do.
I think Declan, we have to be realistic about what the powers are, because the whole reason of the motion is that we don't have an executive.
Exactly.
But if you would accept the wording that went through Belfast, we'd be happy with that.
Yeah, and just reflect that again.
So to ask, as part of allocating the funds, this could include considering an extension of the £200 home energy scheme to those most in need, and also that without an executive, the potential of emergency legislation could be looked at to allocate this funding.
That's right. That's in the same vein, really, as Mark H. Jordan to do with the emergency.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's just a change to the wording.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Happy enough for that, Mr. Hannah.
Okay. So is everyone happy enough? Is everyone in agreement then with that? Barry, I know you're looking in a comment there, but I'll just check if we're all in agreement with that amendment. Yeah, no objections.
That sounds better.
Yeah. Okay, Barry, do you want to come in?
Is that am I coming in to sum up?
Yeah, if we're all in agreement with the amendment, Sarah, do you need confirmation of what that will look like?
Yeah, and if you can email that to me, I can try and put them together.
Okay. Barry, I'll let you come back in and sum up, and Sarah can put that in as well. But I think we're all in agreement with the vein of the motion.
Yeah, look, I'm glad we got that clarified about the £200 payments and that. You know, this has gone through Belfast already, and it's probably just a tweaking of words there. That's what my comment was going to be. And so I think Una done really get that sorted. Look, just the only thing that needs to be said in summing up is that it's crucially and critically important that a strong message goes out from our council, from Uri Mornin Down District Council, that we want the executive restored. We want the First Minister restored by the DUP to get the executive up and running, to get decisions made, to get a budget and monies released into the departments for the betterment of the people that we all represent. So, Gormai Oga Vakarja, on we go.
Thanks very much, Councillor Murray. So, we'll just wait, before we just close, we'll just get that final confirmation from Sarah on the final motion. Sorry, Sarah, no pressure.
Sorry, Chair, it's not actually letting me input it in the chat.
Are we happy if maybe Sarah reads it? Is everybody happy with that?
Absolutely, yeah.
That's good, yeah.
It's torturous, it's certainly, we're together. And she's supposed to be off today, you know.
She's supposed to be off, and everybody's sitting looking at her. It's really not fair.
There's just no mercy.
Oh, there we go. It's in the chat now.
It is in, but I don't know. It's shown in white and black and all sorts. I don't know what's going on with it. I can read it out if that helps.
Yeah, if you don't mind, Sarah, read out. We'll just get clarity on it, please.
Okay, that this council recognises with deep concern the cost of living crisis that is impacting hundreds of thousands of families across our society and the rise in home energy and electricity costs, which has placed a severe burden on already struggling households and businesses across our council area. The collapse of the executive caused by the resignation of DUP First Minister Paul Given is preventing a budget or the allocation of $300 million available from Treasury from being agreed and is hampering ministers from using their full spending power to give people relief who rely and depend upon it. This council calls for the immediate restoration of the executive in order to allocate and agree spending to support workers and families, including the rollout of a child payment scheme. Furthermore, this council calls upon the Westminster Government to take action where local ministers cannot, by scrapping VAT on domestic energy bills and cutting duty on home heating oil, petrol and diesel for the duration of the energy crisis, introducing a windfall tax on profitable energy generators and redirect money towards supporting families, reverse the planned increase in national insurance contributions and halt the planned change in red diesel entitlement. Council also to ask, as part of allocating funding, this could include considering an extension of the £200 home energy scheme to those most at need, and also that without an executive, the potential of emergency legislation could be looked at to allocate funding.
Okay, thanks, Sarah. Everybody content with that then?
Yeah, just sure. I thought we were going to include gas in this when we were talking. I thought that was supposed to be included in it. Unfortunately.
Sarah, stick gas in after electricity and that should keep everyone happy.
I'll tie it all up.
That was, yeah. Okay, folks, I think that's it. Luke, thanks very much to everybody for coming along this afternoon. I do think it was an important meeting to be had. And for poor Sarah having to come on her day off, and also to mention as well, we need to get Michael away. It's actually Michael's birthday. He's the member of senior management team here today. So on behalf of us all, I'll wish Michael a happy birthday and hopefully he can get off to enjoy the celebrations now too.
Yeah.
So let's take care and have a good weekend, everyone.
Cheers. Happy birthday, Michael.
He's a jolly good fellow.
Thank you very much. Don't be singing now. Yeah. For sake,
Farah. He mentions energy generators. He might be better to say energy companies.
Okay, we'll go back to Barra and ask him about that, because I don't actually think he's still on the call at the minute. Well, we'll get it. We'll mention that to Barra. Cadogan, okay?
Oh, just suggesting to Barra that he said should say energy companies rather than energy generators.
Okay, we'll make that point to Barry. Like I said, I don't think he's on the call anymore, but we'll make that point to him.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, thanks, folks.
Don't think I have any disagree with him. All right.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair.
Yep.